You should have lesson four. We've gone through part four. We've been studying a thing called making a difference, and so some great stuff there. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to finish our study. Now, we may not finish it today, as you know, because input and things like that, but this is our last of the four lessons. Our goal and dream is to make a difference for Christ. We want to have not just lived a life, but to leave a legacy. I think that's the key. And as we come to this last section of our study, we're faced with the application part. And I think there's some great truths and some challenges to be made. And this last section we're calling is the charge. We'll see. There it is. There's the charge. This is it. We want to live. We want right now to begin to live for Jesus Christ, to make a difference for Him, to leave a legacy. Beginning now, we want to fulfill what we call the Great Commission, to make disciples, to give out the good news message of salvation, to train and equip those who so they can know Christ and they can do the same thing. And by our lifestyle, we want to make such an impact that it'll carry on long after we're gone. That's the key. You need some more? Oh, I don't know what it is. Thanks. This is not water either. I'm not telling you what it is, but it's not water. I don't know if it's going to help or not. Got all that stuff. Well, when we think about our class, you know, when you think about this charge, this final section, we want to make an impact for Christ, the carry on long after we're gone. And I think about the people in this room, in our class, and I was thinking about it as I was thinking through this lesson, that there's every one of us, every one of you is special and unique. You got gifts, talents, and abilities. You know, your goal and dream of life is to live for Christ and to make an impact. And so that's why when we look at the charge, it's not a new thing. It's a charge that we already know and that we should do. As we look, you should be at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're actually going to look at verse 12. And it's going to take us a little bit to go through it. But as we study this, there are five. In fact, I've got it right here. There are five key areas. Five key areas that we're going to look at that I think that's sort of the charge as an example that we can do, that we can live, so we can have an impact in that way. And so the goal is that we want to make a difference now. And let's start with a prayer and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great time. Thanks for letting us come together. Thank you for our Savior Jesus and how He died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, gives us eternal life simply as a gift. Thank you for the Bible, how perfect it is. And Lord, the privilege we have that you have given to us, written revelation that we can know and that it stays the same and that we can study it over and over and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. And then that we live it out. We take the things that you've taught us and we live them out. Lord, thank you for the Great Commission to make disciples. And thank you for evangelism and training and this charge and all the things that we see in this study. And we just ask you, Lord, to teach us now so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior and that we'll not just have lived a life, but we'll leave a legacy. Lord, that's what we want to do. Teach us, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how old do you have to be before you can make a difference for Jesus Christ? Some people say, well, you have to be a grown person. Some people say you have to be a Christian for a long time. The answer is very simple. All any of us can make a difference for Christ right now, regardless of our age. In the scripture, you find older people and younger people. You think of Caleb and Moses. When Caleb was young, he was standing for Jesus Christ all the way through, standing for God, of course, and the Messiah to come. And then at the end of his life, when he was older, man, he said, I want the mountain. I want the hilltop. I want to whip the enemy. And he still stood for all of that. Moses, good gracious. He was 80 years old when he led the children of Israel out. I mean, just amazing man. You think of younger people like David. David is a young man, fought Goliath and defeated Goliath. You think Daniel as a boy taken off into captivity and stood for what was right even then. You think of Josiah, the boy king. I was just reading the other day. I have a Bible that you just read so much and it takes you through the Bible for a whole year. It's kind of fun. And it just was in that section of Josiah, the boy king. And, you know, he's 8 years old when he took over and he's got a little older. He said, I'm going to clean up the temple. It just gone to nothing. And he said, I want everything fixed. And then they went in there and then they found the copy of the scripture. They didn't have the scripture. They brought it back to him and said, we found this in there. And he went, oh my gracious alive, we better start doing what this says. I mean, you see, older people, younger people, used by God. And so whether young or old, we're going to look at a passage that Paul is charging a younger guy. He's charging Timothy. And so he'll say something like, let no one look down on your youth. But I want you to understand here, in this passage and the application we're going to make, it doesn't matter your age. Don't let anybody look down on your age, regardless whether you're a young person or an older person, because we want to make a difference for Jesus Christ. He encourages this young man, Timothy, to stand for Christ and to make a difference. But as we do the study, there are five things that he talks about. He gives you five areas. And it may take us a couple of weeks to go through it, you know, this week and next week. But we're going to look at the five areas that I think if we do that, we will make an impact. And then if we think about, okay, what's the commission? What's the plan? What's the goal? What are we supposed to do? And then we are faithful in these five areas, I think it's going to be a huge thing. Well, let's get a little review before we get into the last of this, you know, this last study. And I've got, we have the commission and the two areas and all those things. Let's think about it. What is our commission? The commission is to make disciples. When you look in the scripture clearly, you know, people talk about what's a church supposed to do? You know, it doesn't take a committee of people to search for months to try to figure out what the church is to do. The Bible says we're to make disciples. And the idea not only is it individually make disciples, but it's corporately as a body of Christ to make disciples. And that's what we're supposed to do. We have the authority of Jesus Christ. We have the commission to make disciples. We have the comfort that he is with us. If you remember back in that very first lesson, we went to Matthew 28:18-20, and we looked at that. Then we saw there's two big areas under the whole idea of making disciples, and that's evangelism and training. We're to go out where they are, lead them to Christ, and to identify them with Christ, and then we're to train them. And what we did is in evangelism, as we looked at a lesson on evangelism, we went to Colossians and we looked at four key areas of sharing our faith, four keys that can help us as we share our faith. And I think it's very powerful. If you remember those things, we talked about them, about praying and being ready and all those kind of things. Then the last lesson that we've been spending time on was disciples, was the idea of training. As disciples, we want to make disciples. And we talked about training and preparing ourselves, teaching others. We looked at the biblical pattern of helping be mentors and training other people. And so that's a challenge to all of us as we've looked at the Great Commission, that if somebody asks you, what are you supposed to do as a Christian? You'd say, my goal as a Christian is to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to make disciples, which is evangelism and training, leading people to Christ, identifying them with Christ, and then training them and equipping them to be able to do the same thing. That's what it's all about. And so that's the thing. Well, this morning we're seeing the charge. And this is Paul to Timothy. Paul's older than Timothy. Timothy was a younger man. And so in this passage, he tells Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. As I said a while ago, we're going to look at these five areas, but we're not going to look at it and say this is only for young people. Technically, we could say, let's look at these areas of our lives and let's don't let anybody look down on us regardless of age. Because, you know, in our culture, sometimes that when you get older, people begin to look down on you. Like, well, you can, you know, why don't you just sit down over there? And the thing is that the older you become, Lord willing, wiser, trained, experience, godliness, you're to continue to grow in all of those things. And so when people get older, we don't sit them down like, well, you've done your thing. Let me tell you, don't get to the point where you say, listen, I've been active in the church most of my life. I've done my thing. It's time for those younger people to take over. Never quit serving all the way to your last day. You're never too old and you're never too young. You're always just right, right? So we want to look at that. Let's look at Paul's charge to Timothy, and we're going to make some applications. Timothy's a young man, but regardless of age, we're going to do that. Look at verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 12. And this is how he starts it. I love verse 11. He says, prescribe and teach these things. He's just been going through some things about godliness and living the life and being a servant and following sound doctrine and, you know, all of this stuff. And he says, so prescribe and teach these things. And then he said, now, by the way, when you do this, because what Timothy was supposed to do was to teach people just what you're supposed to do. He's supposed to take the things he knows. You've heard of 2 Timothy 2:2. That's also to Timothy from Paul. And he said, take the things you've been taught in the presence of many witnesses, and you entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others. So in that same way, he's saying, Timothy, you know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take what you've been taught and pass it on to others. But sometimes people look down on you. They say, you're too young, you're too old. Here's what he says. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. So that's how he's going to start it out. And so he starts off and says, let no one look down on your youthfulness. And the word look down means to treat as nothing. It means to say, well, it's not important. And sometimes when you're young, sometimes when you're older, sometimes when you maybe are not you haven't been a Christian for a long time, sometimes people would look at you and go, well, you don't know anything yet. Truth is, people who've been Christians for a long time don't know anything yet. So you can't just say that. I mean, let's face it. We are all in this thing together. And the bottom line is, don't let anyone look down on whether you're young or you're old or you're middle, right in there. Don't let that be an issue. Don't let your age be an issue on what you're going to do for Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, I've seen some college people, I mean, young people, high school people, on down. I've seen some college people come into this church, spend the 3 or 4 years here as they go to OSU, and have a huge impact, not only on that campus, but in our church. And somebody said, well, it's just a college people, just a college person. There's no such thing as just a college person. No such thing as just an old person. No such thing as just a young person. No, it's what we are instruments of Jesus Christ. And he says, don't let anybody look down on where you are at this stage of your life. But you be, and he says at the end here, you at the end of the verse, be, show yourself as an example. Regardless of age, and sometimes we feel unimportant. Maybe in the eyes of the world we are. But in the eyes of God, we are valuable. What we are doing right now has lasting impact and lasting implications. What you do now and the way that you affect people's lives will go on for eternity. We talked a little bit in Sunday morning about talking about the, you know, rewards and how do you want to be great for God. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, you want to hear him say, well done. Well, what you do now is going to have impact forever and ever. It will carry on. It will carry on into the kingdom on the earth and then the eternal kingdom that just keeps going on and on in the new heavens and the new earth. And so what we're doing now has a huge impact. And a lot of times people don't think that way. They think, you know, I'm just living life. I'm going to die one day. I'll be with Jesus. It'll be over. And it'll be, that's just the way it is. And everybody will be up there and we'll all be the same. But we're not going to all be the same. You know that. We're going to have different positions of responsibility in the kingdom and in eternity. And what you do now and how you live now and the lives you touch now has an eternal impact, not only in those people's lives, but in your life. So whether you're young or you're old or right in between, don't think of your life as unimportant in any way. So he says, don't let anybody look down on your yourselves. Don't let anybody think it's unimportant. But at the end of the verse, show yourself as an example to those who believe. Example to other believers. An example. That's the challenge to Timothy, and that's the challenge to every one of us. That as we walk out these doors, actually, as we're gathered, because we're examples to each other, as we go out these doors into this community, we're examples. We're an example to believers. We're an example to others. What's a Christian like? How are we to live? What are we to do? Be an example. You know, the word example means a pattern. That's what it means. It means a pattern. This is something to go by. You're to be a pattern for other believers. And this is amazing when you think about it. A pattern. And so a question that sometimes people raise is, would you want others to follow you now and to be like you? You know, Paul wrote, be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. That's what Paul wrote. Now, we could say, well, he was an apostle. That's right. But you know what? He was just a normal person, just like you. Just us. He had the power of the Holy Spirit. He had the flesh. You read Romans chapter 7. What does Paul say? Things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. What a wretched man I am. You ever feel that way? So if you say, well, if Paul can live for Jesus Christ and say, follow me as I follow Christ, couldn't we someday say, as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, can we say, follow me as I follow Christ? We're all in a process. So would you want others to follow you? He says, don't let anybody look down on your youthfulness, your oldness, your age. Don't let anybody look down on that, but you show yourself as an example. Now, from there, he gives five areas, five things to look at. Let me read them again for you. Look what he says. But rather in, here you are, in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Those five things. Be an example. Five things. What we say, how we live, how we love, how we trust, and our purity. those five areas. Let's look at them. And we'll take a little bit on each one, and we'll have some input and go back and forth. The first one is this, in our speech. Ephesians 4:29 and Ephesians 5:4 talks about some things he says. And Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word which is good for edification, for the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. And he doesn't necessarily say there, when it's an unwholesome word, that it's like a bad word or a curse word or something bad. It means words that are not building people up. Same thing in chapter 5, verse 4. He says, unwholesome words. What kind of things come out of our mouths on a daily basis? Are we building up or are we tearing down? What are we saying? All of us would say, I know that I tear down too much. I know I say things that I shouldn't say. I know that I'm negative about certain things. Or I know I talk about people that I shouldn't say. We all do that. What we want to do is be an example of a person who doesn't do that. That we want to be that example. We want to watch what we say. We want to let no unwholesome words come out of our mouth. We want to glorify Christ by what comes out. And so here's the question. Are you building up or are you tearing down? Now in our world, as you walk out these doors, the whole world seeks to tear you down. The whole world seeks to tell you you're not good enough. The whole world wants you to compare yourself with everything else, and everything is negative in a fallen world. Where is the one place we should be able to go and be lifted up? It'd be with the believers. It'd be with the believers. See, we don't need to be like everybody else, because everybody else can talk about everybody. Everybody talks about office politics and this over here and these people who work here, and you've got to be careful what you say. And it's just always what somebody's going to say about somebody else, always behind somebody else's back, always this and this and this. He says, don't let unwholesome words come out of your mouth. He says, you be an example in your speech, in your words. It's easy to say things that hurt others. Our words are powerful. What was the old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true or false? That's false. You know, you can break something. I've hurt things, and you go, oh, it hurts so bad. And then about a month later, after you can't even remember how bad it hurt. You think, I remember it hurt, but I don't remember how bad it hurt. But somebody can say something to you that hurts you, and you will remember that the rest of your life. If somebody said to you, you will never amount to anything, you know that, you're worthless. You will remember that the rest of your life. There have been men that are 50 years old and they're still trying to please their daddy and never will. And there are people who somebody said something to them and they've never gotten over it. So that's why you got to be careful on what you say to people, because you don't want to say something to somebody that's going to hurt them for the rest of their lives. It'd be better to hit them and break their arm and then they get well and they don't remember that pain. Think of the time somebody said something to you. It may have been one of your friends, one of your close friends. This is going to sound silly. When I was in the 10th grade, I started working with track team at my high school, and Coach Morgan was like a hero to me. I loved him. That's before Coach Tyler ever came. And of course, they were all my heroes after that. But I remember I went into the 11th grade, and I had Coach Morgan for American history. And I remember he sitting there, and he was kind of a laid-back teacher, and I was always, you know, wanting to do right and do good for him. And I remember one time he asked some question in class, and I thought I knew the answer. I didn't. So I started talking, and he went, JB, you don't know what you're talking about. I still remember him saying, you don't know what you're talking about. And I went, Coach Morgan told me I didn't know what I was talking about. I still remember that. Was that a big deal? It meant absolutely nothing. My gracious. Don't you remember things that people said to you that hurt you? So do you think that it matters what you say to somebody or about somebody? It makes a huge difference. So we got to be very careful on what we say, because it will affect them. I had a friend, I remember, when we were in the eighth grade, and when guys' voices started changing, his voice was real squeaky, and so people started calling him Squeaky, and they called him Squeaky all the way through high school. And he hated it. All because when he was in the eighth grade, his voice changed, you know, and they'd say, "There's Squeaky," and they never got, you know, and he hated it. And we all know what happened at that high school in Colorado with some of those guys that killed a lot of those kids. And their excuse was, and the things they wrote, because people had made fun of them and put them down. There's no excuse for what they did. But you can imagine how they hurt and how they were bothered. Are we building up or tearing down? Wouldn't it be amazing? What if we said, we're going to do this. At least the rest of this day, we are not going to say one negative thing about another person. We may think it, but we're not going to say it. How long do you think you can go? It's sort of like some game, you know, and you get caught. You say, okay, you're out. And then it's down to like 3 and down to like 2. And how far can you go? Can we make it? How far can we go today before we say something critical or negative about somebody else? We live in a world that is negative already, looking for what's wrong, looking to tear down. We of all people should be looking to build up and use our words. So the first area is, let's be examples in our speech with our words, because it's so powerful. One of the Proverbs says, the tongue brings life or death, and we live by what we say through the tongue. I mean, it's just, he's saying, be very careful what you say. And let me tell you one thing. How many times can you remember right now when somebody told you you did something great? You remember that too, don't you? Now, the old saying is, it takes about 20 goods, greats, to counteract that one negative. And it's probably true, because, you know, I can be here on a Sunday morning and 5 people say, really like that, really like that, that was good, really learned something. And somebody goes up and says, I don't understand anything you're talking about, and walk out the door. I'll never remember the 5 people who said that I really got a lot out of it. You remember the person who said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I want to say, were you listening? No, I don't. So what should we do? Not only not say negative, but do what? Build up. Look for the good. Look for the thing in a person that will build them up. And that's why he says, be an example in your speech. He's not just saying, don't say bad things. He's saying, say good things. And so as you go through the rest of this day, let's see how long we can go without being critical or negative. And let's see how, when we deal with people, how we can build them up. How we can say, wow, you know, I really like it. That's good. That's good. You did that so good. Thanks for doing that. Because most people don't ever get told what they did good. Okay. That's the first one. That's the bell too, isn't it? Okay. We got what, 5 minutes? Yes, sir. Let's look at the second one for just a second. The second one is conduct. He says, let no one look down on your, you know, youthless, but rather in your speech, in your conduct. Conduct is your manner of life. It's how you live. It's your lifestyle. Colossians 3, I think. Do I have the verse up there somewhere? Yeah, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. He says, you not only got to be an example on what you say, not the negative, but the positive. But be an example on how we live. I think it's amazing when you look at Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. What are we called? We're called what? We're called Christians. We're called children of God. We're called saints. He says, I want you to live as a saint. He said, well, nobody's a saint. Everybody's a saint. If you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you're set apart one that's a saint. It means a holy one. You have been declared to be righteous and holy. You have been imputed with the righteousness of God. And then he says, I want you to live out who you really are. That's part of our problem. We don't know who we really are. We're a new creation in Christ. We've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We are righteous and holy. God has put into our account his righteousness. We are to live out that. That's who we are. And yet we don't do that. We think, well, I'm just an old sinner. Well, You were an old sinner. Now you're a new creation in Christ. You still have the capability of sinning, especially if you yield to the flesh. But that's not who you are anymore. And we need to live out who we are. And so when we wake up in the morning, we say, who am I? I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm a friend of the living God. That's what he says. I'm going to live out who I am. Now, on the big things, like church, coming to church, we're all so nice, aren't we? We all live that out. We're shaking hands and nice, and we're so sweet to each other. And you don't want anybody to know what it was like as you were driving up, you know? And so, you know, we think about at the big things, I'm nice at the big things. And, you know, we're really nice to strangers and not nice to our family. Yes, yeah.
I'm just reminded in 1 Peter 3, it says, be the hidden person of the heart.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what it's all about.
It's letting who we are. That's why he says in that passage, the other one, work out your own salvation, Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The work out your salvation means work from the inside out who you are as the saved person in Christ. Work it out. You're right. That part of who you are come out. That is so amazing. And we got to be different. And the big things, we can look different. It's the everyday things. Is that hard or easy? Why is it so hard? Why? You think, aren't we a new creation in Christ? We got the Bible. We got the Holy Spirit. We got spiritual gifts. We got other believers. We got everything. Why is it so hard to live out who we are? The flesh is still there pulling in it. And if you think it lets up, you're wrong. And if you think that as you get older as a believer and more mature, that the power of the flesh lessens. If you think it does, you're right. What? Did I say something wrong?
No.
What? What did you say?
I got a lot of flesh.
Okay. I think some have more flesh than others. I'm not sure how. Oh, I don't know about that, Susie. Oh, man. Do we walk our talk? Do we live it out? And in the same way that what's coming out of our mouth should be building up, not tearing down, how we live, our conduct has to be in such a way that people say, you're different. Why are you so different? Because we're living out who we are. And that's why he says you have to be an example in your conduct. You realize other people are watching you, whether you want them to or not. You know, I saw, I think it was, who's the basketball guy? Some basketball player, I can't remember his name right now. And he said, I'm not a role model. Yes, you are. Who was it? Yeah, Barkley. I'm not a role model. Yes, you are. Everybody's a role model. You realize whether you know it or not, there's somebody looking at you. Somebody. And they're saying, that person, and then they say, is somebody I want to be like? Somebody I don't want to be like. Or that person's doing that. That must be okay. When Coach Tyler came, and I was 16 or 17, when Coach Tyler walked down the hall, this is the way he walked, and I wanted to walk just like Coach Tyler. Now I want to walk like Jesus. I didn't know it all then, because I wasn't a Christian then. Coach Tyler was a great man. And in the same way that I said, you know, I want to be like Coach Tyler, what I say now is, I want to be like Jesus. And what I got to have to do is I'm going to have to get close enough with him to watch him go down the hall so I can know how to be like him. That's the problem. We got to spend enough time with him so we can be like him. And that's why he says, you got to walk worthy of the call once you've been called. He says, don't let anybody look down on you, but you got to be an example in your conduct. Now, let me say this, because I know the bell's fixing to ring, or it may have already. It's about time. We're not talking about legalism here in conduct. We're not talking come up with a whole bunch of rules that you got to live by. What clothes you can wear, what food you can eat, whether you can go to a movie or not. We're not talking about legalism. We're talking about the freedom in Christ, but we're talking about living a godly, righteous life in the power of the Holy Spirit before an unbelieving world so that we can be an example of walking worthy as a child of God. And it's not a legalistic lifestyle. It is a glorious lifestyle of freedom in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we got to be careful, because when you start talking about living right, People automatically say, okay, what's the rules? It's not a set of rules. Rules always make you what? What do they do when you give you rules? What do they make you do? They make you sin. Because all you have to do is say, don't look in this hole. And you're going, I'm looking in the hole. Somebody said, don't look in the hole, but I'm looking in the hole. Don't pick that bag up. Why not? Don't look in that box. Why not? Who said I can't look in the box? That's the way we are. That's what the flesh automatically does. So the Christian life is not a set of rules. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the veil in it. Okay. All right. Well, we've seen the first two. We'll touch a little bit. We'll remind ourselves a little bit about them. And then we'll get into the third one. You know, what's the third one? Love. It's love. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Jesus said, love on another. Is that what he said, Susie? Or love one another? Yeah. It's okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great, great time. Thank you, Lord, for our class and the fun we have. Lord, we know it's a challenge to live the way you want us to live and to be what you want us to be and to fulfill the Great Commission and to make disciples and to evangelize, you know, to lead, tell people about Jesus and then to train them. But Lord, we know it goes back to what we live like and what we do, and we want to be an example in what we say and how we live and how we love and our faith and faithfulness and our purity. We want to be an example. So Lord, would you use us? And Lord, I pray that in our study we'll be so encouraged that maybe the rest of this day, everything we say will be building up and not tearing down, and that we'll live in such a way that people will know that we belong to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.